Right? Let's read Acts 4.
And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of them of men came to about 5,000. And it came about on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power and what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is a stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which became the very cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to go aside out of the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in his name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard." And when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorious. Of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand thy purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were one of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. Now, chapter 3 and 2 kind of gave us a picture of the pristine church. You know, in other words, the church in its most beautiful state that it was in. Well, we know that, we have an adversary that's not going to put up with that, right? And so as soon as, you know, we see the church moving in its purpose, we see the church moving in its destiny, we see the church moving in the fullness of what God created the church to be, what happens? The enemy rears his ugly head. And probably for the next 3 or 4 chapters, we're going to see the demonic attack that comes upon the church. But I want you to look at something very carefully, right, that will help you alongside of this, is that the attack...
Sorry, we're actually recording this, so. Actually, people all over the world are fasting with us. I don't know if you guys knew that. And so it's kind of pretty cool. So they need to hear the message too. And so, so it's inside. So the rulers grab the disciples. So it's an attack from outside. The next chapter, you have Ananias and Sapphira that will try to swindle the people of God and swindle the Holy Spirit, attack from inside. And then you'll have those guys caught again, right, in prison, attack from outside. And then you have the discussion amongst, you know, the widows, and they're fighting about, you know, the proportion of food that they're getting, right, attack from inside. And so you have to be kind of sharp and wise, right, as leaders and as people of God, because the enemy just doesn't attack from outside. In fact, the most powerful attacks that happen upon the church are what happen from within the church, right? You know, someone, you know, does something, someone says something, it's taken out of proportion, someone gets jealous, you know, whatever the case may be. But by far, the most damaging aspects or attacks in the church happen from within the church. It's not some, you know, authority figure outside or the government or anything like that. It's usually from inside. In other words, most likely churches implode, you know. And if you study revival history, you'll know that almost every single revival in the history of the church, you know, including this one here, right, imploded from the inside. It wasn't like detractors or skeptics, you know. Even though that happened, there was persecution. But it was the people inside. They didn't live a godly life, you know. They fell into sexual immorality, you know. All kinds of things happened, and revivals literally stopped because of what was happening on the inside, you know. And so this is a really good analysis for us to, you know, really begin to look at our lives, and especially that we don't take community for granted, you know, and that we try to keep it as pure as possible. You know, which requires that we live a holy life. You know, that's one thing that will help alongside of this thing. You know, but we don't get easily offended, you know, in these things. And I mean, I can continue on, but this is just a kind of side note as we get in here. And so Peter and John, they get arrested. These guys bring him in. And again, Peter, right, this guy that cursed at a little servant girl, now is standing up before the people he was terrified of. You know, the rulers, you know, and the elders and the leaders, you know, the scribes, and he stands up and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the difference, right? He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is so eloquent. You know, remember he appealed to Moses, he appealed to David, right? You know, now he appeals to the psalmist, right? And so he begins to quote, you know, about the very cornerstone, and this actually this rock, this is a very important theme amongst the Jews, right? You know, and so and so he's using their very own words, you know, to condemn them in such a way to really bring this thought through, and he comes, right, and he says in verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, you know. And if you want to be effective in evangelism, I'm going to give you part two in a second here, but you have to be sure of this thing. You know, I mean, this goes without saying. I mean, you have to be sure. It's pretty difficult to, you know, tell someone about Jesus when you think that there's maybe many different roads. You know, there are many different ways. You know, and this is a very, you know, honestly, even in church, this is a very common thought, right? There are many ways to God. You know, we all, you know, I've heard this so many times from Christians, you know, from people that have been going to church for a long time. Well, Allah and God and, you know, Muhammad, it's the same thing. You know, no, it's not. It's not the same thing, right? This says very clear, there is no one else except the name of Jesus. You know, and so it continues on. Now, verse 13, here's another clue, right, to be an effective evangelist or a witness. And says, and they observed the confidence of Peter and John. Look, they were uneducated, they were untrained. But what was the difference? Right? Right afterwards it says they marveled and they realized, oh, they had been with Jesus. Right? You want to be effective in your witness. I mean, you just want to be effective, period, right? Spend time with Jesus. Right? I mean, this just goes without saying. Spend time with Jesus, right? This was I used to, ashamedly, I used to fight with my dad all the time. And And a lot of what we would fight about, he's always, okay, go to seminary, you know, do your thing. And I said, no, I'd bust out Acts chapter 4. It says, Dad, you just got to be with Jesus, right? You don't need any training, right? You don't need anything. You don't need any education. You know, you just got to be with Jesus. And that was my trump card, right? And obviously, I humbled myself, and I went to school and these things. But, there's something about this, right? And you think about this. Here's Peter standing before the scholars of his day, and he trumps them. You know what I mean? It'd be like you going, you know, out to, to Harvard University or something, you know, the Nobel Prize winning physicist, you know, and you confound them with your wisdom. And you're untrained. I mean, you know, because none of us are physicists here, right? And stuff. So, I mean, that's how incredible this is. How is this possible? It was Holy Spirit, you know? And I know some of us, you know, we kind of like, oh, I can't talk to my boss. You know, how can I talk to my colleague? They're smarter than I am. You know, they know more. They're more educated than I am. They're more worldly. They, you know, they've read philosophy books, you know, and I read comic books, you know, and you know what I mean? And yet, you know, all these different things. You think about all this stuff. It's right here, right? Untrained, uneducated, but they had been with Jesus, right? And they marveled. You know, and they were so set back that they let them go. You know, it's like their attack totally backfired on them. You know, they let them go, and the only thing they can do is kind of slap them on the wrist and say, hey, you know, can you just not talk about Jesus when you get out? You know, just like kind of do us a favor, and, you know, we can't do anything to you because there's no grounds, but can you just don't do that? You know, and then Peter and John, right, they stand up, and this is great, right? And this is another aspect of how to be a good witness. It says, we can't stop speaking what we have seen and heard, right? Plain and simple, right? I just can't stop speaking what we've seen and heard. You know, I heard, I was at a Promise Keepers event, and one of the pastors, considered one of the greatest preachers of our time, E.V. Hill. You know, E.V. Hill had this one message, and it's pretty much three words, you know, that's pretty much his whole message, you know, but it kind of registered with this, and he just says, I can't help it, I can't help it. Four words, right? That's all he said, I can't help it. You know, in other words, I have to go share. I have to, you know, love. I have to. I just can't help it. You know, something compels, and it's the same idea here. I can't stop speaking. I have to share what I've seen and heard. You know, what I'm experiencing and what's going on in my life. You know, I'm just relaying that message. You know, and so you're basically just an echo, right? God's doing, and you're just releasing that forward, right? These are all keys to effective witness. And then they continue on. They release him. The disciples get back together, right? They start praying, and they're blown away. And so this is what God does, right? God takes the attack. He redeems the attack. And now confidence is released to his disciples, right? And so we don't get afraid of the attacks. I mean, we're aware, you know, but God has a way of turning this around. And they were, you know, they were supposed to be in prison. Next thing you know, God turns it around, and this whole episode, they're confident, you know, and they start praising God, you know, and more fuel to the fire, and then they begin to look through, you know, through the Psalms again, and they begin to recognize that, oh man, you know, see, the people's devise futile things, you know, and they're able to associate the scriptures and what they're going through right now with their what's happening to them. And they continue on, and, you know, they ask for to be filled with the Spirit of God. And they ask for, you know, the Holy Spirit to come and fill them with boldness. You know, when you want to do the Lord's work, I mean, this is very clear. If you want to do the Lord's work, you know, and your heart is to minister to people, guess what? You're going to get the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit's going to fill you because that's His job. Now, if you want to impress people with your power, you know, if you want to be known as a healer or something, I don't know. You may or may not get the Holy Spirit. Who knows, right? You know, but you know, guaranteed, all through the Scripture, especially the book of Acts, if you want to minister to people, you know, and in other words, you don't want to be famous or, you know, none of that stuff. You know, it's not about you. But you want to love people. You want to minister to people. You want people to get saved around you. You will get the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will come, right, and release that boldness that we really desire, you know, to speak. And then, you know, in 32, it kind of... Well, 32 should be the start of chapter 5. But and then it continues on, and these guys come with one heart, and we're introduced to a guy named Joseph, Barnabas. you know, the son of encouragement, and he gives what he has, and you know, lays it at the apostles' feet, and a sign of generosity, which we're going to see is going to get twisted in the next chapter here for a bit. So let's close our eyes for a second, well, more than a second. All right, going back to my last point. If you want to join God's purposes on earth, you know, if you want to really grab a hold of what God is doing in your workplace, what God is doing in your family, what God is doing in your own home, amongst your community here in Hong Kong, if you really have a grasp of that, just open up your heart. Holy Spirit will come, and He'll grant you boldness. That's all they prayed. They said, Lord, bring the Spirit that we may speak with boldness. Now, man, we could all use a dose of boldness. What are we going to say? Don't worry, Holy Spirit will put that in your mouth. Untrained, uneducated, but they had been with Jesus. Now let's pray this morning for ourselves. Let's pray for boldness. Huh? Let's pray Holy Spirit would come upon us and release boldness that we may join God in His purposes here on earth, here in Hong Kong, here at your workplace, at your school, in your home, your family. Now let's just cry out to God for boldness. God, give me boldness. Lord, I want to join You in Your redemptive work on this planet. Lord, in my city, in my workplace, in my family. And so, Lord, would You grant boldness that we may speak with confidence? Lord, that You're going to put the words in our mouth. And let's just pray over that right now. And with that same thought in mind, let's pray for our workplace. Let's pray for the presence of God to infiltrate the place where you work. You know, your desk, around your desk, your colleagues, your bosses, you know, the whole company. You know, let's pray that God would really move upon that place. You know, there's a reason why you're there, just besides you just working there, right? There's a redemptive purpose of why God placed you there, the God of wisdom. And so let's pray that we'd find out what that purpose is. Let's pray for salvations. Let's pray that people would come to know Jesus through your ministry at your work. Let's pray that you would be a consistent witness, that you would not ruin your witness by doing stupid things. Right? Let's pray for blessing and favor over your job, that you would do it well, right? You'd be promoted and all these wonderful things as a testimony to the faithfulness of God over your life. And so let's just cover our workplace before the Lord. If you are not working, right, cover your families. Right? Let's pray. Let's go to our church focus. Let's pray for our intercessor prayer ministry. Let's pray for just incredible anointing as they pray and cover the church and the members and the world. Let's pray for wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come over them. Let's pray a real servant's heart and a real spirit of unity, and that they would walk in humility and submittedness to one another and to the church. So let's just cover our IP team and GA as a leader. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for Kennedy Roadhouse Church. Let's pray for Will and Tracy as leaders, that they would really have a father's heart as they lead in their little congregation. Let's pray for all the members, that they would just really grow and love each other and love the Lord. Let's pray for real significant ministry and real touch of God to happen in their meetings, and that a real sense of community will be established through this house church. Let's lift up this house church. Let's pray for our member prayer focus. Let's pray for Charles. Let's ask the Lord to help him to develop an extraordinary intimacy with God and to know his will. Develop an unshakable, powerful faith that experiencing the all-encompassing fullness and blessings that only God can bring. This year he says that he resolved to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Pray that each one of his close family members, his mother, father, brother, sister-in-law, experience a full-blown encounter with God, and their faith rises exponentially to experience the fullness that only he can bring. Pray for a healthy baby for his brother and sister-in-law this year. Pray that he would excel at his job and that in his career, and that he would exceed revenue targets by miles, and while being a shiny beacon of light for God in the financial industry in Asia and globally. Let's pray for Charles. He's got a way with words, man. Let's pray for Sujung. Let's pray that Ethan would grow healthy and strong and be an incredible child of God. Let's pray that Kieran would grow with a loving heart for his little brother and learn to share the attention and love his parents will always have for him. Let's pray that Sujung's mother would have continued good health and be able to find a new location for her shop in Korea, and also that her brother would experience God's purpose for his life in his vocation and in his personal life, that he would be able to find a spouse. So let's cover Sujung and her family now. Let's pray for our sister Harmony, and she actually has a pretty important prayer this week, and she needs to decide whether to renew her contract at school for another year. She's considering either staying or moving back to Canada or other opportunities as well, and so she has an important decision to make this week. Let's just pray for wisdom, and that God would just really speak to her, you know, through this time, and just really make her his known will known to her. Let's just cover Harmony. Father, we just bless you today, God. We thank you for another beautiful day that you've given to us, God, that we can share, Father God, in what you're doing on this earth. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak to us today about, Lord, how, Lord, we can be a witness, God, wherever we're going today, Lord. And give us spiritual antennas to see what you're doing, and just the courage, God, and the boldness to join you in what you're doing. God, watch over us today. We bind our will to your will this day. We bless you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.